the third chapter, 5 through 7, taking for our text of the seventh verse of Amos tonight. The den of bird fall in a snare upon the earth, for no gin is for him. Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. Then I want to read another scripture before I get into my message tonight. We'll be reading several scriptures but to lay the groundwork for our message. Genesis, the 18th chapter, when the angel of God appeared unto Abraham. The first verse. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham, appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. He sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And in the 17th verse, we want to call your attention to a space of tonight. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he both spoke of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry which has come to me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. I want to speak tonight to you for a few minutes from this text in the seventh chapter of Amos, third chapter of Amos, the seventh verse. Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealed his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. He revealed his secrets unto the children of God. He revealed his secrets unto the children of God. Now Abraham was a man of God. When Sodom and Gomorrah was on the verge of being utterly destroyed, they were not aware of the dangers that was around about them. But the Bible teaches us that Abraham was revealed unto him, because they spoke unto him, and they said, shall we keep this thing, or shall we hide this thing from Abraham? And then they went on to say that they shouldn't do it, seeing that Abraham was a great man.
Yes.
That he knew how to keep his children, and he knew how to keep his home. And so therefore they revealed unto Abraham the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Because Abraham, the very next few verses, is the bargaining that Abraham had with God. He stood yet before the Lord. He was aware of the danger. He knew what was coming off in Sodom and Gomorrah. But those that were in Sodom and Gomorrah did not know the danger that was there. And so it brings a responsibility tonight upon the ministry and upon those that really know God. Because in our lives tonight, God has entrusted something, and that is a spirit that we know the things that's coming upon this world. A knowledge that we can understand God's word. A thing that God has placed in our hearts tonight makes us to know that it's an awesome responsibility that we know the secrets of God. And God revealed his secrets unto the children of God. We find all down through the Bible, and we won't take time to get into the minute details of them. But when they needed an interpreter, they sent for Joseph. They sent for all of their jurisdictions and all of that. But when they really needed to know what was going to happen, they sent for Joseph. Because he was the man of God. And when it came to that Pharaoh and to that man that day, the first words that he spoke to him, he said, "It's not in me, but God does it." You see, the thing that he wanted him to know, that God had entrusted him with secrets that would be valuable for his life to come. Because there was a drought coming on the earth. There was trouble coming. There was destruction coming. And somebody needs to know how to pray about it and how to know about this. And God reveals his secrets under his prophets.
That's right.
We might say, "Oh, he doesn't do that anymore." Oh, yes, he does.
Yes, he does. He does.
Just the other Sunday night, I went over to my study. I get over there at 4 o'clock. And I was waiting on God, and God gave me a message that I did not understand why that I would get a message like that, but I went on ahead and preached it. And I received a phone call the next day from a lady that said, "Brother Woodward, that message was directly for me. It was mine, and you preached as if you would call my name. It was to me."
Praise the Lord. Hear it tonight.
I don't say that to brag.
Praise the Lord.
Because I believe with all my heart that Spirit-filled men of God that will not use canned messages, sir, and not just go over there and slipshod and haphazard and just get something to tickle the ears of the people, but really get a hold of God, that God will still reveal secrets unto man. Because he's revealing his secrets unto the servants of God.
That's right.
When Nebuchadnezzar needed somebody to interpret his dream, they finally got a hold of Daniel. When Belshazzar needed somebody to interpret his dream, they got a hold of Daniel.
Yes.
When the world tonight really gets in a tight spot and they don't know which way to turn, you wait and see. They'll begin to seek out the will of God in this thing. And I believe it's not too far
off until
we're coming to that place. And we, men of God, need to stand in a place where God can really speak to us.
That's right.
Because he revealed his secret. Now, Moses said this. He said, "God literally stood and spoke to me face to face." You say, "Well, Moses was different than us." Is he? The Bible doesn't teach he's different than us. They taught he had a mom and a daddy just like I got a mom and a daddy. They taught that he was just a man like I'm a man.
That's right.
But God somehow or other seemed fit to talk to that man face to face.
Yes.
And then Moses spoke these words when God desired to lead him on. He said, "Now, God, I just don't want you to take me out of your presence." And then God said, "There's a place by me, and I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock. You're a special customer of mine. Because I'm going to take care of you. Because I've got to speak to this people. And it's going to be through you."
Yes, amen.
And I believe tonight that God still speaks to the servants of God.
Praise the Lord.
He reveals his secrets. He reveals them to us. I get up to preach, and I don't believe there's a pastor here tonight that gets up to preach, and sometimes you preach and you wonder where you got those words. They're not in your notes. If you'd see my notes, I got a big kick out of Brother Kenneth Bagland. If you know him, you know what a nut he is. And he's just a big bunch of fun and a good boy. He's my wife's nephew, and nephew by marriage. And so Brother Bagland's a real good friend of mine, and he held a meeting for me. And he got to digging into my notes. I didn't appreciate it, but he did. And he said, "Brother Woodward," he said, "you won't have to ever worry about anybody taking any of your sermons, because nobody can ever interpret your notes." Well, praise the Lord. But they're not in your notes, but you're up there preaching. And God's anointing is on you.
Yeah.
And that thing's coming out of you.
Yeah.
You
yeah. Amen.
It's prophesying under the anointing of God.
Yeah.
And that individual may come to you that night and say, say, Brother Woodward, Brother So-and-so, I tell you, I really, that message really got a hold of me. It's because God revealed it to you.
Amen.
God revealed it to you. God still reveals it to you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
His secrets unto the children of God.
Oh, thank God.
I look at Jesus when he came before Pilate in the 23rd chapter of Luke. Pilate brought him before him. I can almost see this. We don't really see it really like it is. I believe they had the lawyers of their day there because they wanted to be sure that this thing was all done just right.
Yes.
And so Pilate began to interrogate Jesus. And he asked him the question. He said, "Art thou the king?" And he expected Jesus to go into a lot of detail and tell him all about it.
Yes.
But Jesus just said, "You said it." That's all he said. He said, "Thou said it." No, Pilate looked at him as if to say, "You mean you're not going to tell me a thing?" Well, Jesus could have told him from clear back in Genesis. He just said it was prophesied.
Yes.
And it come right on down. And I'm the king.
Yes.
And he could have explained it to him in minor detail, but he didn't yes. tell him a thing.
Oh. Amen.
You know why he didn't? Because he wasn't worthy to know anything. And finally, Pilate realized that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction. And he thought, "Well, I know what I'll do. I'll send him to Herod." And I could almost see old Herod when he was tickled pink when he found out Jesus was coming to see him. And the Bible said here that when Herod saw it, he was exceedingly glad. He was just overjoyed. Here was coming this fellow that was this great prophet they talked about, that had healed the sick, that had raised the dead, that he done stopped the blind, the deaf ears, and caused the blind to see.
Yes.
And oh, now, maybe he'll just do some little tricks for me while I'm here.
Yes.
And old Herod might have been a little bit sick himself.
Yes. Amen.
But when Herod sat in before him, and I believe again, he had his best lawyers there. And he said to his lawyers, "Be sure and put this in the minutes, what he's going to say, because we need it against him on this trial." And so he started in to interrogate him, and the Bible said he questioned him with many words. I believe he sent him into the searchlights and turned the lights in his eyes and begin to question him with many words. But the Bible said that Jesus answered him not a word.
Amen.
Not a word. "You don't deserve to know anything about me. I'm not going to turn my finger to heal a soul in your presence. I'm not going to tell you what's going to happen to this church some of these days. I'm not going to tell you what's going to happen on Calvary.
Amen.
I'm not going to tell you that I'm going to raise from the tomb. I'm not going to tell you a thing."
Amen. Praise God. Think about it.
Glory, glory.
"Because you're not worthy."
Amen.
The Bible said he interrogated him and he asked him many words. But Jesus answered him not a word. Just nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood there, and they called him every name in the book. They tried to raise his temper. They tried to get him to defend himself. But Jesus just stood and looked at him.
Yes.
He didn't answer a word. They placed the crown of thorns on him, the purple robe, the mockery, and all of the things, and their friends and all of them and their soldiers and made fun of him, but he answered them not a word.
Not a word. Amen.
Think about
they sent him back to Pilate. And Pilate was so excited. His wife came to him and told him not to have anything to do with him. And then Pilate began to talk to him again with all that Jesus would say to him. Thou hast no power except what is given to me, Father in heaven. That's all right. I'm not going to tell you a thing.
That's right.
I'm not going to tell you a thing.
Yes.
Oh, I get so provoked and I get so upset when I hear these Armstrongs. And we used to have an old Charles Jessup on the radio, and people would turn him on, and his word was gospel. And I know Brother Gamlin held a meeting for us, and I asked Brother Gamlin, I said, he's your town. What kind of a guy is he? He said, oh, that guy. He said, I don't know how many wives he's got. You ought to see the standards that man has. And people listen to him, and his word is law. I want you to know tonight, God's not talking to those guys.
Oh, amen.
Amen.
You're not worthy.
Amen.
I hope none of you get mad at me.
All
right. That Schofield Bible was written by a man that didn't have the Holy Ghost. I read his biography. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. He was a college graduate. He was Trinity through and through. And I've had Trinity people say, but Schofield said it.
Uh-huh. Amen.
And that's all right if you want to study a Schofield Bible if you're strong enough to study. But I like my old King James Version here in this old Thompson chain. It just changed me over there to the good scriptures. And I can go on. But I want you to know tonight that God is still talking to His servants. And He's revealing things to us today that we never thought would ever be revealed to us. In the day in which we live in. If you don't believe it, you get out to our camp meetings and conferences and hear those preachers preach.
That's right.
Amen.
They're under the anointing of God, and that word's coming through.
That's right. Amen.
Oh, thank God. It's marvelous.
Praise God.
How God's opening the Word of God to us.
Yes, right.
In the 14th chapter of the book of John, God used the whole entire chapter to tell in detail of His church. He spoke of the promises. He spoke of what we could expect of Him coming back.
Glory to God.
He revealed unto us in the book of John, the 14th chapter of John, the entire contents of what God is going to do for us.
Yes.
It is so wonderful. You read it. You get thrilled about it. In the 24th chapter of Luke, we find that Jesus appeared unto them after they were so troubled. And the Bible said that He opened their eyes and He opened their understanding, that He opened unto them the Scriptures. And He let them understand it. Pilate could not understand it. Herod could not understand it. But God took time out to tell in minute detail to His saints the thing that was going to happen. And He brought to them in the 24th chapter of Luke. He opened their understanding to understand the Scripture. Then He brought to them the marvelous message that we hold so near, that in His name would be preached among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He told us all those things because He wanted us to understand that He was concerned about His servants. And I'm glad tonight, from the depths of my heart, I'm glad that God is still revealing His secrets unto the children of God.
Yes.
Still bringing it forth. Still making us to understand. Still letting us know. Still blessing us. In Revelation, the first chapter, John was on the Isle of Patmos. The 10th verse, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day.
Yes.
And I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake to me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Then on down a little farther in that same chapter, we find Him explaining the mystery of the angels of the seven churches.
Yes.
The angels of the seven churches. And every book that He starts out, the book of Ephesus, He starts it out like this. unto the angel of the church. He speaks.
Hear it tonight.
He starts out the book of Laodicea, which is a lukewarm age. He says, unto the angel of the church. Under the angel of the church.
Right.
If my commentary is right and the Word of God bears it out, it makes me to know that that angel of the church is the pastor of that church.
That's right.
And it puts a grave responsibility on our shoulders. He did not say to the church, he said unto the angel of the church, I'm speaking. Unto the angel of the church, I'm speaking. Unto the angel of the church, I'm speaking. Seven times he spoke it. Oh, it brings home to me that God's men ought to get a hold of God.
Yes,
to be able to give forth that which they need to give. Because God's going to speak to the pastor to feed that church.
That's right.
That they need to be fed.
Amen.
And I'd like to say this to our young converts today. The devil will tell you that you don't have to listen to your pastor.
Amen.
I talked to some boys out there tonight for quite a while. They're sweeping this town, Brother McDonald tells me. And they were telling me about the famine. That they're teaching the famine's coming on the land. And they said, but you know, Brother Woodward, said, when the famine comes, said, we're just all going to be took care of. And we're just going to all just have God, what God's going to do is just bundle us all up together. And we're going to sit there with our big Cadillacs and our air-conditioned homes and all that. And we're going to point our fingers out the door and say, look at that poor city out there. He can't even get anything to eat. That's the attitude that they're getting the crowds with.
Yes.
But I want you to know the Bible does not teach it. And your pastor will not teach it.
Right.
Your pastor does not teach that when you get the Holy Ghost, everything's over. Right. And all things are going to be rosy. And you'll never have any more problems. And everything will just be hunky-dory. And nothing will ever disturb you. No, he won't preach it.
No. That's right.
Because it's not the Word of God.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
He loves you. And I kind of took the wind out of their sea. I said, then you think God's a respecter of persons? He said, no, we don't. I said, well, then tell me something. Why did the disciples suffer like they did? Why were they beaten and put in jail? Why did they have to go through the things they went through?
Yeah.
Why is our Christians in Russia going through the terrible things they're going through?
Yeah.
Why is some of our Christians in the foreign lands going through? I said, if that be true, then God's a respecter of persons. But we've got to be ready to meet God and stand in the gap and stand true to God. And God will make us to know what He wants us to do.
Yes.
You can't have 100 degrees outside and not feel it inside.
Right.
You can't have famine out there and not sweep the whole nation. The Bible said He rains with grain on the just and the unjust.
That's right.
But under the angels He's talking.
That's right.
Under the angels He's talking. God wants to speak to the pastors. God wants to get them in touch with Him. And He reveals His secret under the children of God. We had a young man one night in our church several years ago, and he was falling out, backsliding. Some young men like that and young ladies and all the lot. You can't hardly stop them when they start doing something like that. And my nephew always come late. He always managed to get into church just about 8 o'clock, and Dad told him he had to come. So he come. He didn't disobey his dad. He's always late. And so he was coming in, and I had just read my text. And that boy was going out. And he almost run over my nephew. And he said, I'm getting out of there. That Brother Woodward took a text right at me. But what he was doing, he was sealing his own doom.
Sure he was.
Because God had spoke to me in secret.
That's right.
The thing that that boy needed to be preached in the open.
Amen.
But he didn't stay and take it. And when you get mad at your pastor because he's preaching something that God has given him, you're sealing your own doom.
Yes,
because God has revealed unto him things that you didn't even know that he knew.
Amen.
He's preaching.
That's right.
Because God reveals His secrets.
Amen.
Will God do anything without revealing it unto His prophets? Shall we not tell Abraham a thing about it? Why don't we just fall down our soul tomorrow and destroy it? No, 1,000 times no. He told him. Because Abraham could plead the blood over that nation. And tonight, I don't know about you. I don't know how you feel. But I feel a heaviness over my heart of condition. We have something going through our churches. In the United Pentecostal Church, is a terrible, terrible disease that's going through, and that's divorces, broken homes. You say, oh, Brother Woodward, it's not happening. Yes, it is. It's going through our churches.
Amen.
And I want you to know tonight that we pastors are going to have to get in our pulpits and preach against this thing, because it's going to tear our churches apart. The first thing that the devil has always done is attack the whole.
That's right.
And when he can get the whole, he destroyed the very foundation, because the whole was made first and then the church. And if he can get to the whole, he's got it made.
Amen.
And we need to preach it.
Amen.
We need to preach it. We need to get some revelation on it. And God will stir us. We're afraid to preach it because we've got a church house full of people that's married and divorced. And we're afraid we're liable to offend somebody. But I want you to know tonight, if you were married and divorced and sin, and you're sitting here tonight, and you're going to get offended because that pastor preaches to these young boys that it's a sin to marry and divorce and leave your wife and all of that, you don't even need to be in the church. You better pray, oh God, help that pastor to tell those kids before they get into trouble like I've done.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Right. It's such that we're going
through today. Amen.
And God's revealing it to us. We can see it. And when we get in the Spirit as John did, God will bring things to our mind. And then He begins to tell us to preach it.
Yes. Amen.
I know you've had this happen to you. I've got up with a text burning on my heart, and in walks somebody. I thought, oh God, if I preach that tonight, they're going to think I'm just hitting right at
it. Preach it anyway. Amen.
We had a revival going, Brother Webb. You know Brother Webb that's pastoring down southern part of the state now. It's Bangles, Brother Webb. We had this revival going, and God was blessing us. And I asked Brother Webb, I've never heard a man preach on Jesus' name like Brother Webb preaches. I've never in my life. And I asked Brother Webb, I said, I want you to preach one message on Jesus' name before you leave here. And he said, I will, Brother Woodward, some night when I feel like it. I'll do it. And I've been asked from the Assembly of God's boy, walked by my door in my house every day. He walked home for lunch. And every day, I'd try to be out there just about the time he was, and I'd say, hey, but come out that meeting. We're having a good meeting. And he said, well, I'm going to get out there. And I'd walk and he'd come by there the next day. I said, say, we just got a few more nights for that meeting. Better come out the meeting. So I'm going to get out there. And lo and behold, he walked in the night that Brother Wayne was going to preach on that business.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, glory.
He sat on that back seat. And I'll tell you, he gulped and he looked and he didn't know what to say. And he wasn't just an ordinary Assembly of God man. I mean, he was a dying old Assembly of God. And Brother Webb preached that. Oh, I never heard anybody preach it like he did that night. It was better than it was an organ. I heard him preach an organ. And it was better than it. And I went back to that old boy and I got the kind of a stiff handshake. And I said, you asked for it tonight. I said, you, I didn't know you was coming. He didn't know you was coming. And he didn't know you was here, but you got it. And he said, you're not a kid, I got it.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. It's the word of God, isn't it?
Amen.